So I'm going to go ahead and be teaching today on a very very restful topic. So pray that you enjoy your time here in Sunday school lesson. So let me get this here. All right, praise the Lord. So let's pray here while we're sitting down. Heavenly Father, we want to bow our heads to you, Lord, to the dust of the earth where we've been taken from, Father. We want to ask that you will be with us, Father, as we prepare for service, Lord. Thank you for the message that's gone forward. Thank you for the Sunday school teaching, Father, that will go before. I pray that you will prepare us for worshiping, for praying, for service, Father, and for the preaching of your precious word, that you inspire the minister, Father, that you would just put, Father, that anointing, Father, to all the words and give it life to us. And I pray that you would prepare the way for a good time today of fellowship in your word, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today I'm going to be speaking on rest. Amen. So, mainly rest to our souls, right? And it's a very settling thing to have this age, to have it from the inside out, and to have a rest about where we came from, the destination, where we're going. You know, we do live in a world that is raging all the more, sometimes our own body, sometimes our own circumstances, and just everything. And it seems like the more time goes on, the more that we see the struggle, the more I've been able to mature, the more I'm realizing that there's really a lot to contend with, right? But one thing's for sure, right, is when that soul is at rest, we have that precious anchor. So have you resting in God in a restless world, in God's word, right? So for in Exodus 33, we know God spoke to Moses, and that's when he promised that his presence will be there with him. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So it's a rest that is given. It's a rest that it's you enter into. It's a rest that we, you know, in Spanish, they use the word repose. So it's looking at the differences between those two words. Repose is just it's a deeper meaning to it. Whereas rest, it could also be literal, right? Like sleeping, like you know, sitting down, being still. But this rest is in Spanish, for the most of the times, it doesn't use like the word rest. It actually uses the word repose, which is such a rich word to mean. Like it kind of adds more than just being, you know, still. It puts all those together. So I'm thankful that there remains a rest, right? So we know in Hebrews 4:9, it kind of goes back and forth because there's even a promise that God swore that they would not enter into the rest. But we'll read to whom it's talking about and under what condition. But, you know, sometimes we take those words and we'll bring content to it that, of course, there remaineth a rest therefore, though, right? To the people of God, right? And it's a blessing to know here. I was reading on Ruth how God rested, we know, when he created. And he loves resting. He's commanded rest in the one day and seven. He's commanded rest 1 year and seven. He's commanded rest after the seven times that you have the 7 year, and then you have the Jubilee, right? But one of the things is for certain is God will not rest until he does certain things. And I know he's typified here. So then in Ruth we have, then said she, sit still as Naomi, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. What a confidence, right, to know that the only way the Lord's going to rest is when he has accomplished what he wants to do. And then he does rest, and then he gives his rest. Here it says in Isaiah 62, coming forth, it says, first verse, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteous thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. So God loves rest. He constituted rest. He's the one that was the one that created it all, and he was his own inspector, right? He saw that, and he said that it was good. And that's why he rested, because things were as they ought to be, right? And I think that he grants that to the believer, right? As we'll learn here a little bit, we'll go through the we'll learn a little bit about unrest, right? And one of the things that it takes to be able to, when you do enter into his rest, just what a contrast it is and what a difference it is and what a stillness it is, particularly when we're speaking about the soul. So here we have in 1 Kings 8:56, it says, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. He had not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses." Amen. His servant. We're so thankful we have that type in this age, right? Where we have a message that's a promise, and that a lot of people see it as something of confusion, but it is a rest. It is a rest, brothers. And I'll just touch here about nine scripture verses I have here about what it is to be at unrest, right? Because in order for you to be at rest and even know what it was, is you had to go through the unrest in our life, right? So what I have here is in Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Amen. Man, we've all had our times. Look what Job said here. "My bones are pierced in me in the night season, and my sinew take no rest." Look at Job 30:27. I've been here. He says, "My bowels boiled and rested not. The days of affliction prevented me." We know what unrest is, right? In sleeping, or unrest in just your emotions, or unrest in your eternal destination. How is that soul going to be resting when there's no assurance, right? Whether people know it or not. Psalms 38:3, it says, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest, any, in my bones because of my sin." You know, interesting enough, I was meditating on this and I had to gas up yesterday, and I went to the gas station. And then there was this song, "Bad to My Bones," or something like that. And I was just bad. And I'm like trying to get away from, the machine was broken. So you had to get down there and pay. And it just said, "Bad to the Bones." And I just read the scripture. And I'm like, "Lord, let me be good to the bones." You know? It's just like, "There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones." I mean, look at that. Even your bones need rest, where the anointing rests, right? We know. "Because of my sin." So, unbelief. But the wicked are like the troubled sea. I just put a little image of that. When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. So no good, right? And I threw in this proverb over here because I thought it was pretty fitting. If a wise man contended, so even if you try to contend, right, with the foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there's just no rest. Isn't that something? Makes you wonder why sometimes when you're speaking to certain persons, you just cannot get to that rest. Help us, Lord, right? It's a condition. And Hebrews, it says, "And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, comma, but to them that believe not." So see, sometimes we just say, "Oh, he's heard, he won't enter into his rest." Of course, there is no rest in unbelief. There's no rest in us not coming by God's provided way, right? Of atonement and provided way for all, for being justified, for being. Then there's another rest that comes when we're sanctified, and then there's another rest that comes when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire in the soul, right? And then I believe we're promised, and we already are believing unto receiving the glorification, right, of our body, because we already received the first fruits in our soul. Amen. And here we have in Hebrews 4:10-11, there's a lot, it's just a few verses next. "For he that is entered," so you have to enter in, "into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works," the person, "as God did from his." 11, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." There's clearly a a correlation where unbelief, unrest, belief, rest. And the soul has two senses, faith or sin, doubt, unbelief. There's either rest or no rest in the soul. But to have rest from sin, brothers, that's what the scriptures are talking about. That's to have rest from unbelief. You know what it's like to have a rest that you just don't have to sin? You don't have to unbelieve? You don't have to disbelieve this message, his Bible, his word to us? That's a rest. Isaiah 14:3. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. That's the condition that we're having rest from in Isaiah. Psalms 94, it says that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. And then, so this is how we long. I believe that when you're going through the process of going from unrest to rest, I remember these scriptures, these verses, when you're saying, when it says in Psalm 55, 6, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. For then would I fly and be at rest. Amen. Just escaping it all, right? Sometimes in this world of unbelief, Laodicea. And God giving us that message this time. God's giving us that assurance that the scriptures are laying in the Bible, applied right, that are made alive in the believer. It produces that rest of knowing that we have rapturing faith, that we are going through what the Bible promised. Jeremiah 30:10, therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I, personal pronouns, will save thee from afar, and thy seed, a promise for the future too, from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Amen. I look at this photo here. There's this lighthouse and there's this water. It's a famous photograph. And there's this big waves, and you can barely see that there's a person right there. Just standing. So that's kind of what it looks like when you're transitioning from unrest or starting to be in the lighthouse, right? Starting to be settled on the rock. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1:7 says, And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Preparation. Amen. So we have, this is my favorite one. This one just came alive when I read it for the first time that I can remember reading it. And Psalm 116:7 says, this is a prayer or a song, return unto thy rest, O my soul. It's like you're singing to your own soul, right? For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Now, we know we go through hardship, but it's talking about the soul. It's talking about that rest. The Lord has given us that rest in the soul when there's that faith. Amen. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord. Isaiah 32:17-18, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. But look at the effect. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Amen. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. That's a good description here of the believer's rest. Isaiah 32:17-18, just full of rich words, like that's going to be the effect of righteousness. You're going to have a quietness, assurance forever. And you're going to have his people, he said, who have a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Man, from all the noise of the world and all the unbelief, really. I just remember what it's like to enter into that rest. And it is the subtleness of the things that are of divine value, right? Of the eternal value. And I'll go fast here because we got some really good more message quotes and scriptures to share. Psalm 139:1-3, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest, so he knows your rest. Thou knowest my sitting down and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts far off. Thou compasseth, that's just a way of, another way of saying he understandest, my path and my lying. And that word lying there, I know I read it in other verses, in Spanish in particular, a version of King James, and that lying down, it just means repose, it's rest. So it's beautiful to say that he knows your rest. He's acquainted. He knows when you go out and sit and rest with him and stay still with him and are acquainted with all of my ways. Just think it's beautiful that he cares for the rest. So let's talk a little bit about the Lord's rest. He himself rests as well. And he talks about his own rest and how he rests. So we know in Genesis, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested. He's the first one that, you know, instituted rest from all his works which God created and made. In Isaiah 11:10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. Isn't it beautiful that we're prophesied, even in the Old Testament, that the Gentiles, it's interesting, sometimes the Jews, right? There's even, we're promised in their own Bible to be manifested. It says, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So it's a glorious rest, even for the Gentiles, it's promised here. We know for the church, for Zion. And it says, Matthew 8:20, and Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So interesting, right? There was a rest in the natural, in the ark, in the covenant, and a place for him to dwell in, for his presence to dwell in. And of course, we know that in the spiritual, right, he wants to dwell in a certain place. So we talk about his rest in there. And it says in Acts 7:49, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. So what house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Right? Challenging there. And look at this, Psalm 132. For I think he answers it, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He had desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Very Bible, good Bible answer here. Here in Zion, forever he wants to rest there, I will dwell. And usually where you dwell is where you rest. For I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread, with God's own word, right? Yeah. And I just want to highlight that verse again. It's in the middle of the two I read. This is my rest forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Talking about sign. So that is his resting place. Psalm 132:8, it says, arise, O Lord, into thy rest. Look at that. This is beautiful. It's like the psalmist, or it's a song or a poem or something being out. It says, arise, O Lord, into thy rest. So it's actually commanding the Lord to rest. It says, thou and the ark of thy strength. Isn't that beautiful? This is actually somebody else speaking these words on behalf of the Lord. It says, go ahead and rest, Lord. You and the ark of thy strength. And then we have here where it says, I want to just quickly read this because I found something really interesting about Solomon. So we know David, and then Solomon ended up building his temple. Behold, a son shall be born to thee. He's talking to David, who shall be a man of rest. I actually learned that Solomon is Shalom or Shalomon. It comes from the word rest, Shalom. And it says, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet unto Israel in his own days. So the very own name Solomon is being described here. He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne for his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, and he as he hath said of Thee. Just beautiful to know that, you know, there's a house being built today, and there's a son, and then there's a man of rest, and that we know there's a greater than Solomon here. Man, Luke 7:6-7 says, and the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. And I put these two scriptures together here because I just want to say I'm thankful that the Lord will heal me on a Saturday, that will heal me on a Sabbath, that will bring us the healing. And he was not ashamed to be the Lord of the Sabbath. And I just think it's beautiful here because it says here in Matthew 12:8, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. Son of Man said. So rest to the soul. I'm going to wrap up here. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Amen. It's not just the rest, but it's the soul rest. In Psalm 62, favorite of mine, it says, my soul, wait. And that word wait, it actually means rest as well. It says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved.
Amen.
Amen. We'll speak just briefly about Jubilee because there's also a rest that it was promised. And it says in Leviticus 25:10, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land into the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession. You should return to your land. You should return every man to his own family, unto his family. And I think that's where we rest, is because the Lord's calling us home. He's calling us into his jubilee. I think the believer entered into, to me it was real special that the first service I came here was literally on the celebration of the 50th appearance of the cloud. To me, I heard this message as a, here's your jubilee, here's your shout. And the mark of the beast, we know Brother Branham here in the message, it says, and it says here, now get back to our type. Now, there was a beautiful type given, and I wish to start with today. The marking of the beast, it says, now, in the Old Testament, the Bible said that there was to be a 50th jubilee that was 7 times 7 years, and in the 40th night year, that it was to be made ready, and the 50th year was the jubilee year. 50th means jubilee. It was 50 is God's jubilee number. The word Pentecost means 50. It was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the end of the 50th day, it was also at the end of the 50th year, amen. Just typifying there and what it's going to be. It says 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And here's the same thing, look at, to proclaim liberty, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So when the Lord comes by your way, he's giving you that jubilee. And the believers rest in, it says here, in this hour, it is precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, hold fast to that which is good. For with the stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people, and this is the refreshing. Amen. This is the rest that shall come from the presence of the Lord. Remember, he told Moses, go, my presence will be with you, and I will give you rest. And then here we have, speaking about rest and how it says at the bottom, oh, what is he? The one that comes in you gives you peace, your sign, your comforter at your, in your rest. And here I love because it says, the bottom it says, when we enter into God, we rest all the time. Not from Sunday, not from one Sunday to another. We rest eternal. We got eternal life. The Holy Spirit gives you rest. Amen. And here's talking about stones. On the top, it talks about stones that were offense and of laughing and of stumbling and of a. But here we talk about, it says, but for the church, a precious lodestone to the believer, a stone of assurance, a stone of rest, all mine resting. I know that I have passed from death unto life. My soul is at rest. Oh, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, it was a sign to be evil spoken of, talking about how prophet spoke to Mary, Simeon. He spoke to Mary and saying that the same stone was going to be what it spoke about before, Christ, the stumbling stone to the world, and it was going to be speaking against. But to us, he's a stone of rest. And then here it says, but it will be an assurance. It will be a love. It will be a satisfaction. And it will be something that you know you've passed from death unto life. This is that scripture of the Simeon. And it says, 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. Rest in Jesus. Rest from all works. Amen. God bless you, brothers.